This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to the class of Tafsir. Today, inshallah, we will discuss two important issues, the story of the cow and the people before Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verily those who believe and those who are Jews and Christians, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ, whoever believes in Allah, من آمن منهم بالله واليوم الآخر وعمل صالحا فلهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. That's what Allah says. Verily those who believe and those who are Jews and Christians and Sabians, whoever believes in Allah and the last day and does righteous good deeds shall have their reward with their Lord. On them shall be no fear nor shall they grieve. This ayah, what does it tell you? What do you understand from this ayah? Allah is giving the glad tidings to whom?
To the believers.
To the believers. Those who believe.
In the time of Islam and before Islam.
In the time of Islam and before Islam. It doesn't say in the time of Islam and before Islam. It says those who believe, Jews, Christians, Sabin. So a Christian will come and say, I will have my reward with my Lord and there will be no fear on me. So I'm going to paradise.
According to this ayah?
According to this ayah, yes.
No.
Why? No. It says that,
well, the ayah doesn't... The tafsir ayah is not literally that current Jews and Christians, they're not Muslims. Just like the Christians said that the Jews currently are not believers.
Okay, you said current Jews and Christians are not Muslims. We're not saying they are Muslims. They are Christians and Jews. That's what Allah says. Allah is not saying the Jews and Christians, they are Muslims. He said they are Jews and Christians. So they should get this reward. Yes?
It's talking about those who believing in Iman, meaning like in Allah and His Messenger.
Yeah, they believe in Allah and His Messenger. The Jews believe in Allah and Musa alayhi salam. The Christians believe in Allah and in Isa alayhi salam. So what's the big deal? We are all the same. We will go all to paradise.
But they deny Prophet sallallahu alayhi
wasallam. They deny the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So?
Denying one messenger equals denying all.
Denying one messenger equals denying all of them. But that's not what the ayah says.
But in the other ayah.
وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي. Whoever seeks other than Islam as a religion, it will not be accepted from him.
Yeah, it will not be accepted from him. Mm-hmm. And he is from the khasirin, from the losers.
Yeah. Do you have something from the students online?
I have said the Christians who believe in Isa and the message he came with.
Yeah. Ayan. They say the Christians, yes, Ayan, the Christians believe in Isa and the message he came with. That's why they are Christians.
That's before the Prophet.
Well, again, here you go. This ayah is abrogated. Go ahead.
What?
That's, yeah, some scholars actually, they said, some scholars said this ayah is abrogated. But again, in order to abrogate an ayah, you need to know which ayah came later, abrogated it. And when we want to do any tafsir, what do we do again? If we have an ayah, we go to other ayat. What was mentioned in general, in one ayah, it will be mentioned in details in another ayah. Here, this ayah is simply telling you that those people, they will have no fear, the true believers. But you need to know what's the context, what's the reason of revelation. One of the advantages of knowing the reasons of revelation is to know how to interpret the ayah. Now this ayah, it was narrated that Salman radiallahu an, Salman al-Farisi, he asked the Messenger وسلم, about the people before Islam. What will happen to them? The people at the time of Musa, they believed in Musa alayhi salam. What will happen to them? The people at the time of Isa alayhi salam, they believed in Isa. What will happen to them? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this ayah. Because the people at the time of Musa, how could they believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was not there? So they did their best. Therefore, they should be rewarded. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. To tell them that those people before, whatever they believed in, as long as they followed the religion, they had belief, there is no fear on them. What about the people after Islam, nowadays? Does this ayah approve what they are doing? Is this ayah an evidence for them? No. Why? Because other ayat are saying clearly that whoever disbelieved in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is not a believer. Whoever disbelieved in one messenger, as if he disbelieved in all messengers. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدْهِ لَا يَسْمَعُ بِي أَحَدٌ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ يَهُودِيٌ وَلَا نَصْرَانِيٌّ ثُمَّ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِالَّذِي أُرْسِلْتُ بِهِ إِلَّا كَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. By him in whose hands my soul is, whoever from this nation, whether Jews or Christians, hear about me, hear of me, and he does not believe me except he is of the dwellers of hellfire. The other ayah, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا, whoever seeks other than Islam as a religion, it will not be accepted from him. Many ayat. So don't take only one ayah, because again the Quran interprets itself. What was mentioned in general will be mentioned in details in another place. What was mentioned in the Quran, the Sunnah came to clarify it. That's the job of the Prophet ﷺ. So there is no evidence in this ayah that the Jews and Christians nowadays, they are believers or they will enter paradise. Is this clear? Move on? Okay. Now, we are moving to the story of the cow. What's the name of this surah that we are discussing? Surah Al-Baqarah, the surah of what? The cow. Now, this surah was given this name upon this story. But does this story start from the beginning of the surah until the end of it? No, it's only a few ayat. Surah Al-Baqarah is very long. Why then it was given this name? The significance of this story. Some surahs, they are given the name of a story, but this story starts from the beginning until the end, like Surah Yusuf. Many other surahs, they are giving the name for one ayah or one incident in this story, in this surah. Why? Because it has significance. So this tells you, this surah, this story is important in this surah, because we have many other stories. We have the creation of Adam, but the surah was not named upon the creation of Adam. We have the stories of the children of Israel with Fir'aun, with Musa alayhi salam, many, but it was not given the name. At the end of the surah, we have Ayat al-Kursi, we have the ayah of Mudayana, the transactions. But again, this surah was given the name of this story. So that's why we need to go in details with this story. Now, remember, we are talking about the children of Israel. We started, then that was this ayah, the ayah of the people before Islam. And now, we're going back to Musa alayhi salam with his people. And remember, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً. And remember when Musa said to his people, verily Allah commands you that you slaughter a cow. Now, this happened suddenly or there is something before happened. So Musa alayhi salam told them, verily Allah commands you that you slaughter a cow. Did Musa alayhi salam come out of the sudden and he told them, you have to slaughter a cow? There is something. What is it?
Besides that they worship
and... Yeah, besides they worship the calf.
No.
What happened? They killed a man. A man was killed. He was murdered. And they wanted to know who killed him. So they asked Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah told Musa to tell his people to slaughter a cow. So that was the beginning of this story. Where do we have it? We have it after this story. وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. So why the story is not going from the beginning? Again, that's the beauty of the Quran. It gives you, just like if you are watching a movie, and you don't start from day one. You start from day 10, and they tell you after half an hour, they go back with you 5 days earlier, what happened. Just like that, the Quran is giving you the beauty of the story, what happened. At the time of Musa alayhi salam, one man was killed, and they wanted to know who killed him. So they asked Musa alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's what Allah told him. Verily, Musa is telling his people, verily, Allah commands you that you slaughter a cow. They said, who are they? The Jews, people of Musa. Do you make fun of us? He said, I take Allah's refuge from being among the ignorant. قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Now look at what happened here. Musa alayhi salam is telling his people, Allah commands you. Was it his own desires that he is commanding them, or it was Allah's command? It was Allah's command. Based on what? Based on their request. Again, not Musa initiating this. They asked him to find out the killer. So he told them, Allah commands you to slaughter a cow. What did they tell him? Do you make fun of us? What do you learn from this? What do you learn from this? How rude they are with their messenger. Now, you asked me to find out a solution. I'm telling you, it is from Allah, not from me. Yet you say, are you making fun of us? Do they tell this to a messenger? To a prophet of Allah? So again, I want you to understand this, how this is happening. How this story is taking place. They killed a man, or the man was killed. What the cow has to do with his killing? That's what they are saying. A man was killed, and in order to find out, you want us to slaughter a cow? They said, call upon your Lord. After he told them, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنَا كُنِّي مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, I take Allah's refuge from being of the ignorant. They said, call upon your Lord for us, that he may make plain to us what it is. قَالُوا دُعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي. We want to know what it is. It here refers to what?
The cow.
The cow. Why? It was the last pronoun mentioned earlier, the last name mentioned earlier. They said, call upon your Lord. Again, read the ayah. Call upon your Lord. What do you learn from this? Is he your Lord? Or his Lord?
His Lord.
His Lord. So he is not your Lord. Because they are telling him, call upon your Lord. What is this? Those people, and when this happened after they were saved from Pharaoh, after they were given many things, yet they are still rebellious. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was forgiving them, and He was showing them His mercy. So they said, call upon your Lord. They did not say, call upon our Lord. They said, call upon your Lord. See how rude they were? For us, that He may make plain to us what it is. He says, verily, it is a cow, neither too old nor too young, but between the two conditions. So do what you are commanded. What do you understand from this?
giving them signs.
He's giving them signs. At the end of the ayah, what did he say?
Do
what you are commanded. What do you understand from this?
Don't
ask any more questions. Do not ask too many questions. That's one of the main lessons from this surah, from this story in this surah. Don't ask many questions. We will know what will happen later on. They said, now he gave them description and he told them, do what you are commanded. They said, call upon your Lord for us. Again, call upon your Lord. He's not our Lord, he's your Lord. To make plain to us its color. Now, its description was not enough. They need its color. He said, he says, it is a yellow cow, bright in its color, pleasing the beholders. Was this sufficient for them? No. They said, call upon your Lord for us to make plain to us what it is. Verily, to us all cows are alike. What do you learn from this? They could have
killed any.
But they are asking for details. So they are stupids, basically. If you say all cows are the same, why you want description? Why you are asking for more details if all cows are the same? Yes. Exactly. They thought that when they make it harder and harder, they will not have to do it. But it's the opposite. They had to do it, and they had to do it in the hard way. Many times you could have the choice, easy way or hard way, and you choose the hard way. That's exactly what they did. First, they asked what to do. Musa alayhi salam told them that Allah, it's not me, it's from Allah. Slaughter a cow. They said, we want its description. The description was given. We want its color. The color was given. We want its description. And then the description was given. But verily to us all cows are alike. And surely if Allah wills, we will be guided. وَإِنَّا إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُهْتَدُونَ. If Allah wills, we will be guided. Because they said that, they were guided. Otherwise, they would never be guided. He says, it's a cow, neither trained to till the earth, nor water the fields. Sound, having no blemish in it. They said, now you have brought the truth. Now, this means earlier, you did not bring the truth. Again, another disrespect to their messenger. That's why the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he had a difficulty, he used to say, may Allah have mercy on Musa alayhi salam. He was troubled with more than this and he persevered. So now, they meant by you brought the truth, they knew what cow they should slaughter. At the beginning, was it sufficient or it was not sufficient for them to slaughter any cow?
It was.
Any cow was sufficient. But they made it harder and the matter was harder on them. Until only one cow met that description. At the beginning, they asked Musa alayhi salam to find the solution. They wanted to know who's the murderer. So it was enough for them to kill any cow. But after they were given the description and only one cow met that description, the owner of that cow refused to give it for free. He knew that this is the only cow. So what happened? They had to pay lots of money for it. And there are narrations. But again, did Allah mention these details? No. So we don't have to go to these details because we are not sure whether it's true or not. But it's definitely more difficult. When I know that everybody will come to me, everybody needs me, won't I take advantage of this? This is the human nature. I have the only thing that everybody needs. But if nobody needs it, I will try to offer it. Come on, take it. So here, they made it so hard on themselves until the description fit only one cow. and they slaughtered it. So they slaughtered it, though they were near to not doing it. Again, another thing. They were about not doing it. So it shows you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so patient with those people, was so merciful to them. Once they slaughtered it, what happened? What happened? Yeah, وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَّا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. Allah is telling them, now I did not mention the rest of the ayat, you go back, I mentioned only the ayat that we want to focus on, but all the ayat you need to go back to them in the book of Ibn Kathir. Allah is reminding them, remember when you killed a soul. Now, did everybody kill this soul? Or only one murderer? One person. Why Allah is telling everybody you killed? Once you participate in a crime, even if you did not do it yourself, you are criminal. You are criminal as well. That's why, because they wanted to conceal it. They wanted to hide the criminal. So they are considered all partners in this crime. Allah said, فَقُلْنَا ضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا. We said, strike the dead man with part of it. What part of the cow this man was struck with? Does it tell in the story? Allah did not mention. But in the books, you will find some people said it's tail, other people said it's leg. We don't know. It doesn't matter. Part of the cow, the dead person was struck with it and he was alive again. What are the lessons from this story? What do we learn?
Again, it's like the same story from Sayyidina Ayub. It's the means to revive the dead person.
This is one lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to raise up the dead after they die. Because this man was dead and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him back to life. So Allah is able to resurrect everybody on the day of judgment. Very good. This is one thing. What else?
And also the work that he had to go through for the dead person to revive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said to him, be and he would be, revive and he would revive.
Yes, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the children of Israel to go through all this process? Why?
The same thing when he asked Sayyidina Ayub alayhi salam to get up and stamp the foot with the ground on his foot, take the water and wash it.
Yes, you want something? Pay for it.
Exactly.
Do something. Yes, you trust in Allah, you rely on Allah, but do something. Things do not happen automatically. You need to know that.
You have to get out of your house.
Yes, this is another lesson. What else?
It means more now.
It means more now. Yes. Yes, what else? What else?
Jews are very stubborn.
Very stubborn people, yes, that's true. Yes, we have something from the students online? Yes, many times, as Atiyah said, many times we make things difficult on ourselves. Don't ask. It's easy. Don't make it difficult. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said the worst criminal in the sight of Allah is a man who asked about a question and the matter became prohibited because of his question. The Prophet ﷺ was telling the companions, Allah made Hajj obligatory, so perform Hajj. A man asked, is it every year? Allah, the Prophet ﷺ is telling you, Hajj is obligatory. Did he say every year? He did not. Why you are asking? He asked, is it every year? The Prophet ﷺ did not say anything. The man asked again, is it every year? The third time the Prophet ﷺ said no. Had I said yes, it would have become obligatory. And if it became obligatory, you will not be able to do it. So many times you ask questions, there is no need for it. Yeah.
He wasn't thinking of the people that have to travel so far because he lived next to the Hajj place.
Yeah. What else do we learn from this story? Again, there are many lessons. Why they were asked to slaughter a cow?
Because
Why not a chicken? Why not a bird? Why a cow? It costs more? Well, let's go back a little bit. What did they worship in the absence of Musa alayhi salam? Calf. What's the calf?
The child of the cow.
The child of the cow. So to remove any remainings of their shirk, of what they did, now you are ordered to slaughter the mother of the thing that you worshipped earlier. One of the scholars mentioned this lesson. And it's true also. You could accept it as an advantage, as a lesson from this story. What else? Yes?
Like the mercy of Musa, like...
Yeah, Musa alayhi salam, the patience and the perseverance of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to be like them. If we say we follow the prophets, we know the nature. That's the nature of people. You tell them there is exam, how many questions? Is it difficult? Is it easy? What do we study? Do not ask too many questions. Okay. Next, going again to another thing from Ayah 74 until Ayah 88. Then after that, after what? ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ After what? After this incident, after the story of the cow. Again, this is another miracle. The story of the cow is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Musa alayhi salam. Then after that, your hearts were hardened and became as stones or even worse in hardness. And indeed, there are stones out of which rivers gush forth. Sometimes the heart of the human is harder than the stone. Does that mean if you extract the heart, it will become like a rock? No, it's not physical. But you could see the physical outcome from the spiritual thing. If your heart is hard, you'll not show mercy to people. You will not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not be good to others. So the physical outcome could be shown based on the hardness of the heart. Yes?
Basically says Allah is associating intelligence with the heart.
Yes, Allah is associating intelligence with the heart. But where is the intelligence here? And indeed, there are stones out of which rivers gush forth. This is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation, that He could produce water from stones. And indeed, there are of them which split asunder so that water flows from them. And indeed, there are of them which fall down of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you hear a stone falling, do not say it's earthquake or it fell. Remember this, always try to tie the natural things with Allah's creation, with the Allah's power in this universe. Try always to relate. Remember this ayah. Some stones fall from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says in Surah Al-Hashr, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلْ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ The mountain will be humble, will be fearful from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is not unaware of what you do. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ Again, after all, what the children of Israel were given, they still disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their hearts, instead of being softer, they became what? Harder. What do you learn from this? You are giving one sign. Instead of being better, you are getting worse. This tells you guidance is difficult. You have to hold on it. You have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always guidance and protection. Because
If you may learn, if you may not learn, then you will be worse and worse. Just like what happened to the children of Israel. They were given one sign, one favor, one blessing, then the other one, and then the other one, and they kept on disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not belittle any sin, because it may block your heart from guidance. أَفَتَطْمَعُونَ أَن يُؤْمِنُ لَكُمْ Do you covet that they will believe in your religion in spite of the fact that a party of them? Do you covet? Do you? Who are you here? Allah is telling who? Do you covet that they will believe in your religion? Do you covet? Do Muslims covet? That's what we say then. Do Muslims covet? Yeah. Muslims are the companions, because this is at the time of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That they, who are they?
The Jews.
The Jews. Why? Because they were just mentioned earlier, the ayah before. That they will believe in your religion in spite of the fact that a party of them used to hear the word of Allah, then they used to change it knowingly after they understood it. What do we learn from this?
Meaning they do what Allah meant, but they changed it.
Hmm?
Meaning they understood and they knew.
Yeah, they understood and they changed. So what Allah is telling us here? What does Allah want from us? Does this ayah mean we should not invite the Jews to Islam? They will never respond to it.
It will be incredibly hard because
it will be hard. It will be hard. But this ayah is talking about the time of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why? Do you covet?
Because they needed back then. They needed the manpower and the, you were believers already. So if they converted to Islam, you would have become a great help.
Yes, it will be. It will become a great help. That's for sure. But what else? Now, when the Prophet ﷺ is inviting them several times, and they keep rejecting the message of Islam, the Prophet ﷺ will not be happy with that, right? So this ayah is just like a reminder, counseling the Messenger ﷺ, that do not be distressed. Because that's what they did to Musa alayhi salam. And that's what they are doing. They changed the word of Allah knowingly. So if they did not believe, don't feel bad, because it's expected. That does not mean you don't invite them or you ignore them. It is hard for them to believe, because that's what they did. So this ayah also exposes what the Jews did at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi salam and before that. And when they meet those who believe, they say, "We believe." But when they meet one another in private, they say, "Shall you tell them what Allah has revealed to you, that you may argue with you about it before your Lord?" Okay, here I want your input. What's happening here? What is Allah telling the Messenger ﷺ and the companions? When they meet those who believe, they say, "We believe." What does that mean? What does that mean, "We believe"? Yes.
Similar to the hypocrites.
But is this ayah talking about the hypocrites?
No.
Did the Jews believe in the Prophet ﷺ?
No, they believed in the message itself.
Which message?
The oneness of Allah subhanahu.
Okay, so that's what they are saying. When they meet the Muslims, they say, "We believe." You say you want us to believe, we believe. We believe in the message, but not in this messenger. We believe in the message.
But that's not the messenger.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what they mean by "we believe." But when they meet one another in private, they say, "Shall you tell them what Allah has revealed to you, that you may argue with you about it before your Lord?" What does that mean? When they used to tell the companions that there is a messenger, but he is not him, they used to give them the description of the messenger, which fits the Prophet ﷺ. So one another used to tell they used to tell each other, why you are giving them these details? Because this is against us. So what does that tell you as well? It tells you that the Jews themselves knew who is the Messenger, knew that he is a prophet, but they rejected him out of arrogance.
There was the story of a rabbi that went and then to make sure that the Prophet was the prophet that gave him the date. And then in a way, his cousin asked him when they left, Ahua Hua, is that him, the prophet? He said, yes, he was. And what are you going to do about it? He said, I will be his enemy to the last day.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he knew that was the prophet.
Yeah, he knew he's the prophet, but he chose to be the enemy. Even Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl knew that the Prophet ﷺ is the messenger of Allah, but he rejected that. He did not want someone to surpass him in Quraysh, in the honor. Know they not that Allah knows what they conceal and what they reveal? Now again, would that help you if you tell each other in seclusion, in private, that do not tell them and try to hide it? What are you trying to do? Don't you know that Allah knows everything? أَوَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ And there are among them unlettered people who know not the book, but they trust upon false desires, and they but guess. لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أماني And there are among them unlettered people who know not the book but they trust upon false desires and they but guess. What does that tell you?
They just follow the rabbis.
They just follow the rabbis.
Without question, without
knowing. So following the rabbis, is this considered knowledge?
No, you have to find out for yourself.
You have to find out for yourself. That's why scholars said the knowledgeable person is the person who is able to derive the ruling, not the one who asks. When you ask about something, you have the knowledge of it from someone else. So you are not, you don't have the knowledge. That's why they say at-taqlid, copying other is not knowledge. It's just copying other, following others. Guessing, is guessing knowledge when you guess something?
No.
No, it's not knowledge. False desires, is it knowledge?
No.
So don't start wishing and hoping, I am better than this imam, I am better than that scholar, I am by wishes only. It will not give you knowledge. True knowledge is when you know the halal and the haram, when you strive, when you work hard for it. Yeah. Then woe to those who write the book with their own hands, and they say this is from Allah, to purchase with it a little price. Woe to them for what their hands have written, and woe to them for that they earn thereby. Again, Allah is telling you that part of them, they used to write the book with their own hands, and they used to attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like the slides we showed you yesterday about the Bible, what happened, how it was compiled. Some people, they used to write it, and they say this is from Allah. Why?
Personal gains.
Personal gains. Again, people will follow me. I'm giving myself
status.
I'm giving myself extra things. I'll get money. But what did Allah say? Little price. Remember this always. No matter how much you are getting, it is little price compared to what you'll get in the hereafter. Woe to them. What is woe? Wailun lahum. Wail, some interpreters said, it is a valley in hellfire. In hellfire there is a valley, that's woe, so they will be there. Or, it is a punishment for them, great punishment for them. Yeah. Woe to them for what their hands have written, and woe to them for that they earn thereby. So don't think that whoever wrote something, it is correct, or he's gonna benefit from it. And they say, the fire shall not touch us but for a few numbered days. وَقَالُوا لَن تَمَسَّنَا النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً Now, how they said this? How they said the fire shall not touch us but for a few numbered days? How they say that?
They probably were told they would be punished for their sins.
They knew that they sinned and they knew that they will be punished. Were they given the promise that they will be there for a few days?
No.
No. Say, have you taken a covenant from Allah so that Allah will not break His covenant? Or is it that you say of Allah what you know not? قُلْ أَتَّخَذْتُمَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَهْدًا فَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ عَهْدًا أَمْ تَقُلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Now let's say you have a promise that you will be only for a couple of days in hellfire. Would you take the risk?
No.
No? Well, unfortunately, most of the people, they are. You tell them, why you do this? Well, Allah is forgiving. Even if I am punished, I will end up eventually where? In paradise. So why don't you burn your finger? Only burn your finger for a couple of minutes. Can you do that? Some days. Some days. What do we mean by some days? One day in the hereafter is equal to what?
1,000 years.
Can you be in hellfire for 1,000 years? Do not belittle the sins. Again, because you don't know what will happen. Each day is 1,000 years. And you say, it's few days, it's only. It's not like our days. It's not like the fire that we have. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always forgiveness. Do not say that which you don't know. With this, inshallah, we will stop here. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين